You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 31st. August is over. The Twins finished the month 14-13, but this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Matt Braun is back. I'm really excited he's back. Always a good conversation. Writer at Twins Daily. Matt is in Seattle, Washington. We established that last time. Got to meet Matty this summer, which was nice, and we are reconnecting. Matt, how are you? How's this summer been? We're looking at fall. I can't believe that.
Well, first and foremost, man, it's been way too long. I think it's been like a month and a half since I was last on.
Yeah.
It was before the trade deadline. I remember that. Good Lord, it's been too long. I can't believe it's already fall. You know, we got just the other day, I just heard rosters are expanding. I'm like, rosters are expanding? What could you mean, you know?
30 more games.
30 more games. Man, I had my fantasy football draft yesterday. You know, we got pumpkin spice lattes coming. It's fall, baby.
Yeah, it's fall. Yeah, fantasy football. It's, you know, it's been a bad year. And even when we talked back then, not much has changed, you know, in terms of just the team day to day. Like, they were out of it then. They're out of it now. But it's still, you're still sad when it ends. You know, you still have to go through a long winter of no baseball. And every time spring rolls around, you're excited for spring, for baseball. The headline today, Matt, didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, came out this morning. Joe Ryan is going to make his MLB debut tomorrow in Wednesday's game against the Cubs at Target Field. Twins fell tonight 3-1 to the Cubs. Bad game for the Twins tonight. We'll leave it at that. But Joe Ryan going to make his debut. You excited, Matt? What do you know about Ryan? And what should Twins fans be looking for from him?
Oh man, you know, it's been quite a while since I've been so excited for a game. Quite honestly, I'll be full honest, even as a Twins fan, this last month or so, it's been more of just, oh hey, the Twins are playing, yeah, I'll watch that, or I'm just like playing guitar, reading or something, and that's in the background. Like, I care more about reading about like old history stuff than I care about the Twins.
Yeah,
that says a lot. But anyways, Joe Ryan, let's focus on him. I'm real excited for this guy, real excited. He is the best combination for the Twins currently of, let me get this thought correct, of prospect status and guy who's closest to making an actual major league impact.
Right.
Which is to say they have better pitching prospects, I believe. But, I mean, Ryan's about to make his MLB debut. And all these other guys, they're a little bit further away. Mm-hmm. So I think he is the guy I'm most looking forward to, if I could simplify that, to making an impact next year then. To be a guy that we can, you know, shift through the mud and we can see, oh, this may be a little disgusting, this may be a little gross, but hey, at least we got Joe Ryan, you know?
Yep. Yeah, Joe Ryan, 92-96 with the fastball, not going to blow you away with his stuff, but all the way through the minors, just great numbers. 2.67 ERA in the minors, 226 innings, led minor league baseball in strikeout rate in 2019. That's a good point, Matt, because when you think about pitching prospects coming up and making their debuts, sometimes it's guys with like the 100-mile-an-hour fastball and the 92-mile-an-hour slider that you're excited, but they have like a 17% walk rate in the minors, and you're like, oh, we'll see how it plays at the big league level. They're electric, and it takes those guys sometimes a year, you know, where they really kind of set in. At least in my opinion, I think Ryan with his stuff can impact the Twins right now. And more importantly, of course, in 2022, he might not reach the ceiling. As you were speaking, I was thinking of Dylan Cease making his debut for the White Sox in 2019 for a bad White Sox team. Dylan Cease with electric stuff. We've watched him and he struggled his first, you know, year and a half in the major leagues. And now is kind of finally settling in. I think it's going to be a different trajectory for someone like Ryan, just because the minor league numbers are so good, but it's the command, you know, the strikeout numbers are there, but he has that fastball that he can command all over the zone, get swings and misses at the top of the zone, and then his slider plays off. And I also think the Twins will be cautious with his innings and how many times he sees a lineup. I want to ask you about that, Matt. How have you thought of the Twins kind of managing Bailey Ober, and he's been so good, and Griffin Jacks multiple times through the order. They've been conservative at times, you know, conservative with Ober's pitch count and with his innings, and then, you know, not letting Jacks see a lineup a third time, you know, in some of these games. What do you think about that? Like, what's your philosophy?
Well, first of all, I have to acknowledge you mentioned Dylan Cease. I hope no one has a good memory, because I'm pretty sure we've bashed on Dylan Cease no less than 20 times.
Way too many times.
Past offseason, just crapping on him. And then he actually has gone out and had a good year. So, you know, I really hope no one remembers that.
Tip of the cap.
tip of the cap. Great job, dude. You still walk too many people. But anyways, let's get to your question. So with Ober specifically, I could get how people are sort of frustrated by this. It feels like, you know, just let him loose. You want to let him go. But with him specifically, I think it is a good idea that the Twins are sort of just letting him go now five or six innings at a time. Keep in mind, again, we have to bring it up every single time because it's relevant. No minor league season last year. Mm-hmm. He did not pitch in any relative games, or relevant games, as I should say. And even when he did pitch in 2019, he didn't throw too many innings. Off the top of my head, it was something like 78 or so. And I assume he's creeping up on that total now.
Yep.
So the Twins are just going to be like, okay, we absolutely do not, you know, want. And if he goes an extra inning in 2021 and it ends up, you know, really doing some damage in the future, to what purpose? What does it matter?
Right.
Who cares if Juan Manaea gets that inning? It doesn't really matter. So I understand why they do it, and I can appreciate why people would want to see him pitch more, but it makes total sense. It makes total sense. Now, when it comes to Griffin Jacks, you mentioned they've been hesitant to use him the third time through the order. I would argue that Griffin Jacks himself has placed himself in that situation. At times, he's just been way too inefficient. This last, even just take this last start, he had some decent stuff, actually. I was quite impressed at times, but he would just, you know, have extended plate appearances. He'd walk a guy or two, and then you looked up and he had, like, I don't know, 60, 70 pitches through three, and you're just like, well, you know, what are you supposed to do with this? It's like the Blake Snell debacle. It's like, it's just six innings every time because he's only letting you make him give six innings every time. You got to be more efficient. So we may see that, we may not, but right now he's just not in that position to do anything more.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about Ober, because he's a guy that you covered in the minors 2 years ago when he had that dominant minor league season. And I'm sure he was all over the reports and minor league pitcher of the day and everything. But I think, you know, starting the year and struggling with the Twins, and then kind of he's gotten into his own the last 8 starts, he's got a sub-3 ERA. But Matt, I want to know, and if you agree, disagree with me, I think who he is, I'm hoping he is this line for this year. 3.98 ERA, ERA plus 106, so right around league average, 77 strikeouts, 17 walks, and 74 and two-thirds. If the Twins could get a 106 ERA plus from Bailey Ober next year in a, you know, 130, 150 innings, I don't think he's going to pitch 200 innings next year. I would consider that a big win, because I think that we also have to be conservative about how we think of these prospects and their upside. Would you consider that a win for 2022 for Bailey Ober?
Oh, I absolutely would. I am in the firm belief in the belief in TinStap, otherwise known as there's no such thing as a pitching prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, and we're even seeing it right now, unfortunately, the Twin system, you know, we have these high upside guys. Let's look at Canarino and Duran, and you just watch them pitch and you're like, man, these guys just dominate. But it's injuries, it's, you know, inconsistency, it's just a lack of command. It's whatever it is, something holds them back from ever seeing their full potential, because you can look at some of these old prospect lists, and I do it sometimes, and it's just hilarious. Just be like, dude, Martin Perez was a top 10 prospect.
Right.
And I just said that with a straight face. All right. So if you can get any of these guys, especially a guy like Ober, who was kind of on people's radars, but was never even like thought of as even a top 15 guy, really. If he can come out and just be average, just be above average, you take that every day of the week. You say, thank you very much. You know, he's never going to be, I don't think, like multiple-time all-star, front of the rotation, Barrios type of guy. But number three, number four guy is going to go out there, give you five or six innings. You can't complain about that. I am perfectly okay with that. You can build around that.
Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's promo code LOCKED ON. Promo code LOCKED ON. LOCKEDON. All one word for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. I think this system, I'm hopeful that this system will produce in the next 2-3 years, two or three of those guys, whether it be Ober, Ryan, Jax, if he figures it out with a third pitch, getting lefties out, you know, maybe Balazovic turns into a 3 or a 4, which again, like, people, like you're saying, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. You have to temper your expectations for these guys, but that's just a huge step to be able to pencil in Ober next year. Matt, helps me a lot, certainly, to think about the 2022 rotation that is likely going to be without Kenta Maeda for the entirety of the 6-month season and is missing a lot of pitchers. I mean, they're going to need to fill these spots. How do you think about the rotation this offseason? How difficult do you think it'll be for them to put together at least a league average starting rotation for next year, knowing what you know about the farm system, where guys are at, and knowing what you know about the free agent market and how the Twins have operated in it?
You know, I got to give you credit, because I feel like you somehow just read my mind with that question, because literally not 2 hours ago, I was writing an article about this very topic. So congrats on being able to see my computer screen.
Oh, yes.
I guess. Nash, I didn't know. Have you been doing this entire time?
Cover the camera.
Oh, my God. Terrified. But anyways, the way, and this may be a hot take, this may be me coming out of the wild here, but the way I'm envisioning the 2022 rotation is three words, work in progress.
Yeah.
It is going to be ugly. It is not going to be pretty, which I kind of just said that with ugly. I don't know why I said that. But especially now that Maeda is going to go down, we don't know how long he's going to be out or specifically what he's going down with, whether it's TJ or whether it's not. But I think we can fairly say at the very least, he's going to have a minimal impact in 2022. I think that's fair at the bare minimum. So then you take a step back. Oh, it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. But you take a step back now and you say, okay, out of guys that A, I trust, and B, can actually be penciled in, that leaves literally Bailey Ober.
Yep.
And that's it. So knowing that, and knowing how the Twins operate, and knowing also what we kind of just talked about, who's in the pipeline, and not just who's in the pipeline, but how close they are to reaching the majors, I think what the Twins should do next year is maybe sign a guy or two. If it's an innings eater, so be it. If you want to go and get a bigger name, get a younger guy, I'd say. I've been eyeing up John Gray. I'm kind of intrigued by him. He's
like him
only going to be 30. So maybe a guy like him. And then just let the rest of rotation sort of build into its own. Let guys figure it out. Let Bailey Ober, let Joe Ryan, let Drew Strotman, let Griffin Jacks, let all of these guys, Randy Dobnak. I sometimes forget he exists. Let all these guys sort of just battle and show whether or not they're going to help in the future. Because I'm kind of, to be honest, I'm writing off 2022 already, which I probably shouldn't do, but I'm kind of doing it. And I think it would be a great opportunity then to look forward if we had this opportunity of just, all right, full blank slate, clean slate, just go. Show us what you got with no worries as to if you perform poorly, it hurts our playoff chances, because we're not really worried about that right now. So just go. And we'll see what happens. That's kind of my philosophy right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I would push back and ask you what they do then this offseason in free agency. Because what you're looking at here, Barrios, his money wasn't big. I mean, it was going to be $8.5-9 million probably in arbitration, is off the books. There's a chance they trade Buxton. There's another $7-8 million that's off the books. I don't think John Gant's going to get tendered. you know, there's a lot of guys in here that probably will not make their projected salary. I mean, Jake Cave is in his first year of arbitration. It's probably going to cost $1 million and you might be able to get him on a minor league deal. You know, it's one of those things where you look at this roster and you don't feel like these guys will make that money. But what we're looking at, Matt, is like a $70 million payroll committed to 2022. So I think, you know, if they're at 130 again, you might say there's no chance they spend 130 in 2022, but even if they're at 120, you're looking at 50 million to spend. And you feel like a lot of the position player spots are filled. They need a shortstop. I don't think they're going to move Polo back to short, and they need to, you know, get some bullpen arms too. But if they tender Taylor Rogers, they tender Tyler Duffy, Jorge Alcala, Caleb Theobar, those guys kind of make out a framework. Where are they spending their money in that case? Or are you saying they're just going to slash this thing and we're going to have the pitchforks out?
Well, I know a lot of people who would apparently think that's going to happen. It's an interesting point you bring here about then looking at it through a total payroll. Because like you said, well, if you're not going to spend that money, then what the hell else are you going to do? Now, They don't have to spend that money technically. But like you said, I think that would induce some pitchforks. So a few things they can do. First of all, I'd be perfectly okay if they said, you know, we're going to plan so much in the future, we're going to hand out some premature extensions.
Yeah,
sort of like what they did with Polanco and Kepler. I don't know, off the top of my head, give one to, let's say, Garver. Give one, maybe if you can convince one of the guys like Larnach or Kirilloff, maybe they can do it.
Arise.
Arise, another perfect opportunity. Sort of, if they want to go down that avenue, I'd be perfectly A-okay with that. I think I would like that more than anything, actually, with a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. And then the second point I would say is, I didn't say fully, you know, avoid the starting rotation. If you do go out and get John Gray, that right there, I mean, what's that going to be? $18 million maybe off the top of my head? I don't know. AAV. So that's going to eat up a large, not large, but eat up a decent amount of money there as well. And if they decide to go with the second one or, you know, whatever. I want to be clear. I'm advocating for don't fill up the entire rotation with free agents and just like patchwork it. You know, I think that'd be a bad idea.
Right.
I think you got to think a little bit longer term. And then my third point I'm getting to here is then you said that the starting lineup as far as hitters is mostly intact. I would agree that it's mostly intact, but I think there's one glaring position that needs work, and there's one position that's going to be in a major abundance. And I'm talking about shortstops, baby.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
It may be weird, and some people may disagree with it, but I think actually now would be the perfect opportunity. Let's go out and let's get Trevor Story.
Love it.
You know, let's go. I'm kind of mixed on Javier Baez, but, you know, let's look at these other guys. We got Carlos Correa. We got Corey Seager. I'm definitely forgetting some other ones, but we're basically looking at five or so all-star shortstops available, and we got a massive glaring hole there. If they want to send it and maybe not make sense in doing it, I'm fully A-okay with spending big money on a shortstop.
Yeah, I like that idea. I would have loved that idea after this year if we had known that, they won the division or even like lost in the wild card game this year, and you say, okay, you know, Andrelton Simmons wasn't great, let's go out and we'll spend on a shortstop. I also am maybe more optimistic about Royce Lewis at short than a lot of people are now, and I understand why you wouldn't be, as he won't, you know, play a game of professional baseball in almost 2 years the next time that he plays. So I don't know how you can have a ton of confidence in him. I don't have a ton of confidence in him, but I want to keep the possibility open for him to play shortstop, for Austin Martin to play some shortstop. And I know the analysis is that neither of them probably are going to stick there, but I would be hesitant, Matt, in a way to lock up a Trevor Story for 6-7 years or a Carlos Correa for 6-7 years. Great players. I love Trevor Story. He would be the guy. And I talked about him last offseason that I would target. Marcus Semien's there too. You know, he's going to be back on the market. We talked about him, you and I did, in the winter.
And I was hating on him. So again, no one remember that.
Oh, I can't believe how poorly that some of these things, Matt, who I think Marcus Semien's leading the league in Baseball Reference wins above replacement. And I don't know. And Andrelton Simmons has like a 60 OPS plus. I think some of these things were actually constructed by a computer. Like, I think some of these outcomes are a simulation. Like our buddy Andrew Ludke has said before, it feels like some of these were Marcus Semien's legitimately one of the best players in the American League this year. And then Andrelton Simmons has his worst season offensively and maybe even defensively in his career. It's crazy how some of these things happen. It can't go this poorly next year, can it, Matt?
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. That's DirecTV.com.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked on their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, we're Vikings fans, also, aren't we? We know this can happen.
Yes, and we're gonna get our hopes up this fall too, only to be let down. I just don't. I don't know. I maybe it's because I host a 5 day a week podcast, and plan to do so again. You know, this offseason and next year, where I have some optimism that coming into 2020. Only Jose Berríos was returning to that rotation. You know, they extended the qualifying offer, got Odorizzi back. They signed Pineda back. They signed Rich Hill, who ended up pitching well for them for the most part, and then traded for Kenta. So it came together, and they had similar payroll space that offseason too, right? And the only difference in my mind then is Jose Berríos is an all-star, and Bailey Ober is a rookie this year, pitching well, but he's not Jose Berríos. So you have a lower starting point. You have similar payroll flexibility, more even, this year potentially. And then, you know, you add in that you need a shortstop, so that's an expense and some more bullpen arms. But they signed Tyler Clippard that year, right? They signed some other guys. They brought in Matt Whistler, who was great. I guess he was only about $1.5 million that year, but I have confidence that they'll be able to do it. It's just gonna be, can they hit on some of them? Because the free agent track record is now pretty ugly in my mind.
That's a good point, and it's actually it's probably the biggest slight you can have on this front office has just been their free agent. Man, it's just been Cruz has been a strong hit. Off the top of my head, some of the other relievers we've liked Clippard, we've liked.
I like bringing Sergio back.
Sergio back, yeah. Some of these free agent signings have worked well, but some of them have just been ghastly. I mean, even. If you want to go back further, 2018 was such a disaster because the guys like Lomo and Lance Lynn, who's now freaking, I don't even want to get into that. But anyways, so I actually want to hit on a few things you talked about before. Yeah, you kind of threw a lot of things. Unfortunately, one of the things about us not being in the same room is I can't answer everything straight away. It's kind of tragic. But let's see. You talked about, what was it you were talking about? Talking about the shortstops and story.
Yeah, yes. And coming into, I want to know what you think is the biggest difference in your mind. And I know Berríos and Bailey Ober, that's obviously a difference of who you can rely on at this point. Ober's been great, but he's still in his first 75 innings in the bigs. Why are you more pessimistic that they can't do it this offseason than you were two offseasons ago? I mean, I assume that you were much more optimistic then after 2019 that they could rebuild a rotation around Berríos and come back the following year. Have you lost faith in the front office? What's your reasoning for thinking they should throw the young guys in there for next year and just kind of, in a way, punt?
All right. So I did remember what I was going to say, and I'll get to this. Let me go around. We're going to go on a trip here. All right. You ready? You going to strap in?
Yes, sir.
All right. So with the shortstop thing, you bring up a good point with Lewis and Austin Martin. You're anticipating both of them being shortstops. Two things. One, Josh Donaldson is about to very much not be on this team soon. Yeah. Around the same time that Lewis and Martin are going to come into their own. And so at that point, then you can move any of those three guys, if you sign a shortstop, to third base, I think pretty safely. I don't think you're going to be worrying too much, whether it's if you sign a guy like Story, whether it's Lewis, who has played third base, whether it's Martin, who I think has enough athleticism to be able to play third base. So I think that problem will take care of itself. You know, there's that old saying that you can never have too much talent. You know, you acquire good players and you let them play where they be. So that's my thought process there. That's why I'm not too worried about it. So for the starting rotation, why I'm more pessimistic is that, first of all, I don't think that 2020 starting rotation was actually that great. Mm-hmm. I think had the season have been longer, I think Rich Hill really would have fallen off a cliff, like we've seen him kind of do this year. You know, I think if we were forced to see more of Randy Dobnak, that wouldn't have been good, because 2020 is starting around there is when he started to fall off. You know, you had Berríos, you had Kenta overperforming, quite frankly. And so it was a mixed match of sort of, I never really trusted that rotation. As much as it did technically perform, it felt like duct tape and glue, and had the season been longer, we would have seen more glaring holes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they did bring back Pineda and Odorizzi. And while, yes, you can say they only were heading into that season with Jose Berríos as their own starter, it kind of didn't feel that way, because first, Odorizzi never technically left because he signed the qualifying offer, and Pineda always felt like the team was connected at the hip with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It felt like they sort of had home field advantage when it came to signing both those free agents, to the point where they were almost not even free agents. It was almost like it was just a continuation. That's the way I see it. Whereas this year, you're looking at it, you still have Pineda, yes, but you don't have an Odorizzi type. Even Pineda, it's questionable whether you want to resign him, considering the injuries and considering his performance has slid somewhat. So now it's truly and utterly, you know, and now you don't have Berríos. So now it's truly and utterly Bailey Ober that you can rely on, and four absolute blanks instead of just four kind of blanks before, but with two asterisks that were most likely going to be filled. That's the way I look at it. I think those are the major differences.
Yeah, I understand that too, and I can see what you're saying completely. Would a good September here from Joe Ryan, let's say even five turns, we got 30 games left, five good turns from Joe Ryan in September, would that change your mind? When I say good, let's say Bailey Ober level, solidly, you know, 5-6% above league average in terms of ERA, good strikeout numbers, gets through some starts a second and third time through the order. Would that change how you feel about next year's team?
I'd say no, for a few reasons. One, I don't tend to believe in small samples like that. You know, one good month, we've seen a lot of guys have one good month and just fall off. I mean, it happens so often. And my second point, I guess, would be then, if Joe Ryan does have that, and you say, great, and you still decide to go into 2022 and he carries that performance, if you compound that with, as I said, I still want to advocate for signing a guy like Gray. Let's say you got Gray. Let's put him at a 130 ERA plus.
Yeah.
All right. I'm kind of spitballing here, but whatever. You have Bailey Ober 106, and you have Joe Ryan. Let's say he's around that area, 110. So now you have three above average starters, actually. Yeah. Now the situation has changed. Now that can actually carry you.
Yeah.
If you see what I'm saying. So it's really a position that I see them in as a sort of, they can pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can decide, and you're heading into 2022 with low expectations. And if the guys perform, that's great. And if they don't, you never locked yourself in too much that now you're screwed.
Yeah.
That's sort of the way I'm looking at it.
I just have trouble. I like that thought process, thinking about 2022 is almost, it's almost a leap of let's see what we have and let's really go all in 2023 to 2026, you know, when this new core is coming through, and let's find out the arms. Let's get them as much run in the bigs as possible. Let's find out what we have. I actually think Griffin Jackson is a perfect example of finding out what you have, right? And you mentioned the sample can make it difficult, but what we've seen from him, at least in my opinion, is I think he's a reliever. Like, I think his slider is a good pitch. I think the fastball has played fine, but I just see a Cody Stashek type reliever with a better fastball. And I think the Twins might see differently. And as they see more of Griffin Jackson, as I see more of Griffin Jackson, I'll think differently, but at least you found out, right? At least you've seen him. So you have an idea of what he's going to bring going into this offseason, going into next year. So I think that's your argument, Matt, if I'm not mistaken. You're looking at 2022 in the rotation specifically, but also, I mean, you could throw Trevor Larnach into that and say in the outfield too, if they trade Buxton, you know, you could throw other position players into that, Jose Miranda, and see what you have in 2022 and then use that information for 2023, 2024 to benefit you. And I would say, I think I would have trouble if they took that stance and the money is spent on a shortstop. I think it's going to be hard from this. This is another factor this offseason that I want, you know, to discuss a little bit. How would you convince someone like Trevor Story or Carlos Correa or Corey Seager, any of those guys who are probably going to wait this offseason? You know, they're going to wait out maybe the CBA talks and everything, and you don't do anything to improve your rotation. You don't do anything to improve your team. Maybe you get that one guy, John Gray. Doesn't change a whole lot. How are you going to convince someone to then come play for you in free agency? Because I think, I hate to use the White Sox as an example all the time, especially like because you and I have we've ripped on them. But I think they were building what they have now, and there's still question marks about them. I still want to watch them crash and burn, of course. But building what they have now, which is a really good team with a deep, good young team, I think they were able to convince Liam Hendricks to come with money, yes, but also because of what they've built and because there was momentum toward the future. Josh Donaldson, I think part of that too, you know, the money was a big deal for him, I'm sure, as it is for everyone, for a lot of guys, but also seeing that they had taken such a big step forward and that they weren't going to slow down. So how are you convincing free agents to come, even a John Gray to Minnesota? Like, I worry about that.
All right. My God, I don't even know how to first answer that. So, okay. So let's think about this. So I'll say this about the White Sox and how, if you want to draw that analogy. So let's look at the White Sox, because we're going to talk about them getting Lance Lynn and Liam Hendricks. We're talking about the 2019 White Sox and the 2020 White Sox. Well, the 20, did I have that right? No, 2020 into 2021. Yes. Years. My brain is like soup at this point. All right. This whole pandemic stuff has just killed me. But anyways, so let's look at the 2020 White Sox. What made up, and let's specifically look at that rotation. What made up that rotation? Actually, you can expand to the team as a whole. Let's look at the entire makeup of that team. It was a whole lot of young players. That's why they're able to do it. This Twins team, they're not that young anymore. Jorge Polanco, Max Kepler, your core, Miguel Sano, even Mitch Garver, Byron Buxton, they're getting to their later 20s. They're going to start hitting 30 soon. Whereas you compare it to that White Sox team, they were almost across the board in their low 20s, 23, 24, 25. I think Robert was something like 22 when he debuted. You know, real, real young guys, and that makes a difference. That's why they were able to get ahead, and that's why they're able to say, look, we are building something, as opposed to the Twins of now who are kind of like, well, we've kind of built our thing, but it kind of broke down, so Now we got to rebuild it. So that's the difference. And even if you want to look at the rotation, that White Sox, it already had Lucas Giolito, who had his breakout season. It already had Dylan Cease, who was showing more promise heading into
the shortened season. Yeah.
In a shortened season, heading into 2020. They had Ronaldo Lopez, who I just want to mention for the memes. I find
unbelievable.
I love him. I love him. And they had already signed Dallas Keuchel. So they had, do they have another young guy? I'm forgetting. Am I forgetting?
Well, they have Kopech in the bullpen, who I think is unfortunately going to factor in big time next year. And it just sucks for the Twins. But yeah, I mean, as you explain that too, it like makes me think they put that together fairly quickly too. That rotation, you know, trading for Lynn, signing Keuchel, and then they already had Giolito, they had Cease. I'm trying to think of their fifth starter too, but they put that together fairly. Now they have Rodon, who they signed for $3 million, and he's going to win the American League Cy Young. Like,
I forgot
about unbelievable. That. You hit on that. Like, you got to take advantage of it. But yeah, I don't want to cut you off, Matt, but I want to, as you say that, think about I think next year is going to be their best year of their entire, the White Sox. I think that's going to be, I think 2022 is going to be when you have Jimenez, Robert, all these guys hitting their primes in the middle of their extensions. They're going to start getting more expensive at the end of their extensions. But I think next year with Hendricks and Kimbrel potentially coming back with that vesting option, doesn't seem likely, but they could bring him back. I think next year they're going to be really, really tough.